بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد. Today we covered the entirety of the ninth juz, which was ending off with Surah A'raf and continuing into the beginning of Surah Anfal. So we were discussing yesterday that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ends off the 8th juz by speaking about many, many different prophets. And of course, we are not going to go into the story of any of them because that will be very, very time consuming. And the last prophet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was talking about was the story of Prophet Shu'aib alayhi salam. And that is where the 9th juz continues, talking about the people of Shu'aib alayhi salam. After mentioning all of these prophets and about how all of their nations were destroyed, they did not listen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent signs, but they just did not listen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a lesson. He tells us, وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْقُرَىٰ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He will grant us blessings from the earth and the skies if we do two things. First thing is, believe in Him. And number two, وَاتَّقَوْا, is to have taqwa. And that is the purpose of Ramadan. We believe in Him and we fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us all of the blessings that we want. Thereafter, He tells us as well that we should never become too arrogant when Allah does decide to give us blessings. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees us and He gives us those blessings, He sees good in us and we have those things, that does not mean that we become very arrogant that, oh, look, mashallah, or without saying mashallah, I have so much wealth, I have this, I have that, and we start becoming arrogant that we have everything, why would Allah take it away? That we have sort of pride in it. And then we forget that He is the one in power. It was not we did not gain anything of our own accord. Allah was the one that gave it to us. Because if we start having this feeling, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us right after, He says, that أَفَأَمِنَ أَهْلُ الْقُرَىٰ أَن يَأْتِيَهُمْ بَأْسُنَا بَيَاتًا وَهُمْ نَائِمُونَ. That is, any village, any city, are they ever feeling secure that maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might send a punishment upon them while they're sleeping? أَوَأَمِنَ أَهْلُ الْقُرَىٰ أَن يَأْتِيَهُمْ بَأْسُنَا ضُحًا وَهُمْ يَلْعَبُونَ. Is there any nation that they're feeling secure and safe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never send a punishment upon them, maybe during the day, وَهُمْ يَلْعَبُونَ, while they're just playing and having fun? أَفَأَمِنُوا مَكْرَ اللَّهِ. Do they feel safe from the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that no, that should not be your attitude. If you have blessings, that great, but that does not mean Allah might not send something upon you. So always thank Allah. So in this pandemic, we have practically seen this ourselves. We have practically seen it. That we were all living comfortable lives, we are going about our day, and now, all of a sudden, we are all stuck. And who knows for how long. So we all thought that everything was going fine, and then now we're all stuck in our houses, businesses are collapsing, and wallahu alam, how long this is going to take. We should make shukr to Allah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided to spare us, as it could have been much worse. And how long will this actually last? Like I said, we don't know. Even in Wuhan right now, things are still slowly getting back together, but they're not that great. There's an article in CNN just today. I'll quote what they said in that article. They said that despite the lifting of most strict lockdown laws, many stores are still shut, restaurants are restricted to takeaway, and even when citizens go outside, they still wear protective equipment and try to avoid each other. Wuhan, you're talking about over half a year ago, and they're still in this situation. Then it continues and it says, during a recent trip to the city, business owners told CNN that they were struggling with zero profits and huge rents, and experts said that it might take the city's economy months to recover, if not longer. And we are still in the initial phases. So you can imagine. So again, أَفَأَمِنُوا مَكْرَ اللَّهِ, that do you ever feel secure from the plan of Allah? No. We should always turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the story of Musa alayhi salam and his duel with the magicians, and we're not going to go into that duel. Right at the end, what happened was that when Fir'aun went after the magicians because they ended up bringing faith in Musa alayhi salam, they faced a situation where Fir'aun told them that I'm going to punish you. And how was he going to punish them? He said, I'm going to cut your limbs. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to cut your limbs and I'm going to hang you, which is a very severe punishment. And that was a common punishment Fir'aun would give. That's why he's called the person of the stakes, S-T-A-K-E-S. So when they said that, what did they say? Out of fear, did they say, okay, sorry, we'll listen to you? No. They said, we are inna, qalu inna ila rabbina munqalibun. They said, we are to return to Allah. And the 16 juz, they said more things. فَقْضِي مَا أَنْتَقَادْ إِنَّمَا تَقْضِي هَذِي الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا. Do whatever you want, because whatever you're going to do is only going to be in this world. There's a very, very important lesson of aqidah in this for all of us. Or aqidah means Islamic beliefs. And no matter what our situation is, we should always keep in mind that we are going to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this pandemic, no matter what happens, no matter how we suffer, we all need to remember the end of the road goes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether this pandemic is the last thing we see of this world or not, both roads always lead to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then after the magician said this to Fir'aun, they made a dua we should right now adopt too. We should start saying this dua regularly too. What, especially in this situation, what was the dua that they made? Because they were stuck in a very bad situation. They told Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, رَبَّنَا أَفْرِغْ عَلَيْنَا صَبْرًا وَتَوَفَّنَا مُسْلِمِينَ. Oh Allah, grant us patience. And now we're about to pass away as well because of this situation. We might pass away. وَتَوَفَّنَا مُسْلِمِينَ. And if you're going to give us a death, give us death as believers, as Muslims. So we should also make that dua, رَبَّنَا أَفْرِغْ عَلَيْنَا صَبْرًا وَتَوَفَّنَا مُسْلِمِينَ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses the different plagues sent to Musa alayhi salam and many, many different things. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about how he gave the Torah to Musa alayhi salam. So we're not going to go into the whole story of Musa alayhi salam. It's very lengthy. Moving forward, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told that when Musa alayhi salam was going to go receive the Torah, Musa alayhi salam ended up fasting for 30 days and going into seclusion, performing i'tikaf for 30 days. And thereafter, he added another 10 days and he ended up doing 40 days. So there's something very important here. The prophets would always go into seclusion, or some of them were forced into seclusion in order to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Musa alayhi salam in the surah, he had to go into seclusion before receiving the Torah. Ayyub alayhi salam was forced into a seclusion and he was separated from his family because of the disease that he had. Yunus alayhi salam was forcefully secluded inside the belly of the whale, which is where we learn about ayat al-kareema, la ilaha illa subhanaka inni kuntu minal zalimeen. Ibrahim alayhi salam was completely forced to leave his people, and on top of that, Ismail alayhi salam and his mother were left alone in Makkah before everything good came to them. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would be alone in the cave of Hira before receiving revelation. So right now, so some prophets voluntarily went into it, other prophets were forced into that situation as well. But then at the end, he connected with Allah. Right now, we are all being forced into seclusion as well. And coincidentally, it's the month of Ramadan as well. So we should derive benefit from this situation of ours. Moving forward, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us many, many different things about the Bani Israel. He tells us about a group of people that are called the Sabbath breakers. I'm not going to go into their story at all. But they did something wrong and they tried to play with the commands of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us here that those who were doing wrong were destroyed. And those who tried to stop them were saved. But he never tells us what happens to those people who weren't doing what was wrong, but at the same time, they weren't stopping the bad people either. And this is a very important point to keep in mind, that make sure you stop evil, unless maybe Allah will hold you responsible as well. And this is, there's another ayah we read towards the end of the ninth juz, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاتَّقُوا فِتْنَةً لَا تُصِيبَنَّ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْكُمْ خَاصَّةً. And fear that fitna, that trial, that is not only going to afflict the evil people amongst you. That means it's going to afflict the good people too. You might get destroyed with them too. We should fear that. If anyone's thinking, okay, we're Muslims, we make wudu, no, that doesn't mean anything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might still afflict us. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about something called Ahdi Alasta. I'm not going to go into that. That will be a bit lengthy. Then moving on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us one important lesson. وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا. Allah has very beautiful names, so call out Allah, call out to Allah with His beautiful names. So when we are, this is the Ramadan, when we are making dua, we should make a habit of calling out to Allah ta'ala by His beautiful names and learn what they mean as well. Not just know the name, but learn what they mean as well, properly. Because there is a difference between, for example, if there's someone trapped in a situation where they can't get out of it, and they want to make a dua to Allah, there's a difference between someone who's only calling out to a God, that, oh God, oh Allah, help me, and there's a difference between a person who calls out to Al-Qadir, the All-Powerful, and he understands too, and he knows that no matter what impossibility is in front of me, that since Allah is Al-Qadir, He will remove all the obstacles because He is All-Powerful. So there's two completely different mindsets when you're making dua if you call out to Allah by His name. Moving forward to Surah Anfal. Anfal talks about the spoils of war. That's what Anfal means. during the battles of Badr, what there were spoils of war, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had to explain it to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that what is going to happen with all these spoils of war, we're not going to go into it. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we're getting to the last ayah I wanted to discuss, after discussing all the rules of spoils of war, all of the different things, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about a group of people from Makkah who told Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Allahumma in kana hadha huwa al-haqqa min indika fantir alayna hijaratan min as-sama. They told Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, oh, so what you're saying is the truth, right? So they made a dua in front of Allah. They said, oh Allah, they're disbelievers, they're non-Muslims, they're making this dua. They said, oh Allah, if what this person is saying is the truth, then why don't you send stones upon our heads and destroy all of us? So how did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala respond? Of course, he may have done that, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says right after that, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَانْتَ فِيهِمْ. Because of you, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because of you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to punish them. He is not going to punish them. Alama Alusi rahimahullah mentioned in Ruhul Ma'ani that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did this because لِأَنَّهُ رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a mercy for all of mankind. And getting to the point, since Rasulullah is a mercy to all of mankind, we should always remember Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and specifically on the nights of Jum'ah. Islamic ones, remember Islamic days work the other way. Tomorrow is the day of Jum'ah, tonight is the night of Jum'ah. It goes from Maghrib to Maghrib. From Maghrib today is Jum'ah, all the way till tomorrow's Maghrib. And there are many, many virtues, many things that we can do. I'll just mention two things that we can do during these nights. The first one is sending salawat and durood on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's a hadith mentioned in Nasa'i, Abu Dawud and Ibn Majah, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Inna min afdali ayyamikum yawm al-jum'ah." The best day for you is the day of Jum'ah. And on that day, Adam alayhi salam was created. On that day, he was raised, his life was taken. And on that day is going to be the nafqa. The blowing of the trumpet is going to be on Jum'ah. وَفِيهِ السَّعْقَى. And there's another event where everyone is going to completely faint and collapse before the Day of Judgment. Rasulullah said that's also going to be on that day. So because Jum'ah is so important, فَأَكْثِرُوا عَلَيَّ مِنَ الصَّلَاةِ فِي, send lots and lots of durood and salutations upon me on the Day of Jum'ah. فَإِنَّ صَلَاتَكُمْ مَعْرُوضَةٌ عَلَيْهِ. Because when you send it on this night, all of your salawat that you're sending, it ends up reaching me. I see it. It's presented to me. So then the Sahaba says, Ya Rasulullah, wa kayfa tu'radu salatuna alayk? How are they presented to you? How can that be? Rasulullah said, Inna Allah, they said right after, waqad armat wa balayt, because you'll turn into dust and you'll decay, your body will be gone. So how can you even sense any of it? So he said, Rasulullah responded and said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this earth haram. He's made this haram for this earth to consume the bodies of the Anbiya. We're not going to go to the details of that. But nevertheless, we should send salawat on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's one salat, and there's many, many salawat that are mentioned in the hadith. The best one is, of course, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad till the end, the one that we read in salah. There are many, many different ones. And there's some other ones that are not mentioned in hadith, but scholars would read them. I'll mention one of them because it's a very nice one. Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah has a book called Ar-Risala. It's a book on Usul al-Fiqh. In there, he mentioned one durood, one salat that he would send upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Regarding that durood, one of his students, Imam Muzani rahimahullah, says, he said, I saw Imam Shafi'i, and this is mentioned in Qawl al-Badir, Imam Muzani rahimahullah says, I saw Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah fin manam in my dream after he passed away. And I asked him, ma fa'alallahu bika? What has Allah done with you? Now you've passed away, what did He do with you? Did He forgive you? What happened? He said, غَفَرَ لِي بِصَلَاةٍ صَلَّيْتُهَا عَلَى النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فِي كِتَابِ الرِّسَالَةِ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven me because of one salah, one durood that I was sent on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which you will find in my book, Ar-Risala. So what was that durood? اللهم صلي على محمد كلما ذكره الذاكرون وَصَلِّ عَلَىٰ مُحَمَّدٍ كُلَّمَا غَفَلَ عَنْ ذِكْرِهِ الْغَافِلُونَ. What that durood means, Ya Allah, send peace and blessings upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam every single time one who is remembering to do it remembers him. Whenever anyone remembers Rasulullah to send durood, and send all of the salawat on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And وصلي على محمد كلما غفل عن ذكري الغافلون. And send salawat on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam each and every time any individual who is heedless forgets to send salawat on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is a very good durood that we can read as well outside of the ones mentioned in hadith. That's the first thing, sending salawat. And the last thing, of course, is reading Surah Kahf. That is very important. There's a hadith in As-Sunan al-Kubra, Imam Bayhaqi and Mustadrak al-Hakim. Rasulullah ﷺ said, "Man qara'a Surah al-Kahfi fi yawm al-Jum'ah, whosoever reads Surah Kahf on the day of Jum'ah, suti'a lahu nurun min tahti qadamihi ila anani sama yudhilahu yawm al-Qiyamah." On the day of judgment, this person is going to have a light with him that is going to be so bright, it's going to shine from under his feet all the way up to the skies. وَغُفِرَ لَهُ مَا بَيْنَ الْجُمْعَتَيْنِ. And because of reading Surah Kahf, all the sins he's committed from one Jum'ah to another Jum'ah are going to be forgiven as well. To end this off, Imam al-Shafi'i writes in his book, Al-Umm, he says, أُحِبُّ كَثْرَةَ الصَّلَاةِ عَلَى النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فِي كُلِّ حَالٍ وَأَنَا فِي يَوْمِ الْجُمْعَةِ وَلَيْلَتِهَا أَشَدُّ إِسْتِحْبَابًا. Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah says, I love to send the salawat on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I especially love to send a lot of it on the days and the nights of Jum'ah. And then he says, وَحِبُّ قِرَاءَةَ الْكَهْفِ لَيْلَةَ الْجُمْعَةِ وَيَوْمِهَا لِمَا جَاءَ فِيهَا. And I love to recite Surah Al-Kahf during the night of Jum'ah and the day of Jum'ah because of all the narrations that have come about this, you know, about the virtue of this. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to act upon what has been said. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ